You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news, folks. It's our job to give you the most interesting bits of world sports, entertainment, odd news. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And it is a very special moment here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
It is.
Hard to believe, but this episode officially marks our 400th episode. Officially. We've done actually a lot more than that because,
yeah,
you know, we've done things during COVID like the Crispy Compact Communique.
Right.
We've had Christmas specials.
Yep.
We've had, you know, some other things in the pipeline as well. But that doesn't take away from the fact that this is episode number 400. So before we get the ball rolling off on the, you know, this week's news and stuff, I figure we had to at least mention it that, yeah,
yeah,
we are cracking another century of episodes.
It's getting weird, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Like when I wrote that, I was like, this is a weird, you know, the other big milestones were like, so I remember 50. It was like, oh, we made it 1 year. Then it was 100 triple digits. It was,
yeah,
200. Now it's 400. I'm like, these are getting into like make-believe numbers, like 400 podcast episodes.
Yeah.
That's insane.
We've been doing this show in some way, shape, or form for 8 years now.
Yeah.
We've seen three different head coaches for the Eagles.
Yeah, we have.
At this rate.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Or is it four? We're around for Reed. So Reed.
Well, no, wait, were we?
I think so. Yeah, Reed, Chip Kelly, Doug Peterson, and now beard guy.
Sirianni,
thank you.
I couldn't Mr. remember. I was like, who's beard guy?
Yeah, Mr. Beard guy.
Andy Reid stopped. When did we start the podcast?
8 years ago. So 2014?
So we just missed Reid. It was 20.
Are you sure?
2012. 2012. We talked a lot about Reid because he was still fresh in our minds when we started. No, I think we started in 2013.
I'm going to consider we were part of that.
Okay.
Because
all right,
we were,
sure,
I believe we were around when Chip Kelly was beginning. So therefore, we were in that transition era. I'm counting it.
Sure.
These are the rules, and I've made them up.
We've experienced three and a half head coaches.
Woo!
There you go.
No, four. I'm going four.
Okay,
I'm going
four
all the way. You can't take it from me. There you go.
Okay,
that's what I'm going with.
The point is, we've been around a long time.
Yes.
400 episodes.
Yes. I just want to start off the show by saying thank you for listening to our show and supporting us, whether it's been listening to the show on the podcast or liking our video feed. Now we got a video feed.
Yeah.
We never did a video feed before. This is something
relatively new in the grand scheme of the podcast.
Yeah, that now we've got the full video if
we've
you
gotten
check
so
it out.
So old as well.
Thanks.
I mean when we started this we were young chipper guys. Now we're just
Wow. All right, Mike.
You know, before the show was starting, I was desperately trying to remember what movies I had watched this weekend so I could talk about it at the top of the show, and I cannot remember. That's where I am at my life right now.
Wow.
I can't remember the movies I watched over the weekend.
I think you might be going straight to dementia at this rate.
I feel very old sometimes.
All right, well,
but no, you know what? 400 episodes, it's not just about us getting older. It's about the podcast becoming more mature, a more complete product. We're always trying to, you know, find new ways to innovate, and it's all because of all the listeners and watchers, because if they weren't around, we wouldn't, you know, wouldn't have keep trying to innovate.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would just be us talking to each other.
Yeah.
Which we did. We'd
probably do anyway.
You know, we do anyway, because, you know, we hang out and stuff, but it's another thing when it's actually with the podcast equipment, and we're sending it to you guys so that you can listen and tune in, whether it's through the podcast apps or through YouTube and Facebook on video. We try to make this an actual show, so we want to thank you for supporting us any way that you've done, whether it's the video or the audio show or even on social media. Just every little bit helped. So thank you guys for letting us entertain you for 400 episodes plus however many compact crispy communiques we did during COVID.
And side quests.
So yeah, that's what it feels like. It feels like a really big version of The Witcher. Like we had all these side quests.
There's a lot of side quests between specials and one-offs and crispy compact communiques. It's a grand sprawling legacy.
Yes. Don't look at me like, yes, it is.
No, it is.
Don't second guess yourself. It is. We've done a very good job.
No, you're right. I shouldn't
job.
Second guess myself. We've been around a lot longer than a lot of other podcasts.
Yeah,
when
take
you think
that.
About it. Like, we've been doing it almost a decade.
Almost, yeah. If you could round up.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure we started in 2013, not 2014.
Sure. So then, whatever. The point is I consider we were around since Reed. I'm going with Andy Reed.
Okay. That's your measurement. I like to measure things in time, not head coaches of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, at this rate, it works out. It's like
I remember three coaches ago.
Yeah, it's like every 4 to 5 years, we get a new one.
Yeah, at this rate, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have a new one probably in, 3 years at this rate?
Probably.
Yeah. All right. How about, I've inadvertently launched into sports. We're not in sports sampler mode yet. Because before we get to all the news topics at hand, we'd like to give you a little personal update. So, Mike, do you remember now what movies you watched, or do you have any personal updates, or what's happening?
No, I watched Whiplash again.
That's a good movie.
I watched two movies. I cannot remember. For the love of me, I cannot remember the second movie I watched, but I did watch Whiplash. My second time watching it. Jordan's first time watching it. It's a fantastic movie if people haven't seen it. It keeps you weirdly on the edge of your seat. It's like, I find it kind of anxiety inducing because the percussion heavy jazz soundtrack is just like constantly just going. J.K. Simmons. Oh man,
I was gonna say J. Jonah Jameson.
It's basically one in the same.
What he is, but no, J.K. Simmons. Yeah, I mean, he earned
best supporting actor.
Yeah, he earned that. That was,
I mean, my God, what a breathtaking performance. And It's crazy because we're watching the movie and I've already seen it, so I know what happens. But Jordan over there is freaking out. She's like, I can't take this. It's too nerve wracking.
And you're just watching it.
And I'm just watching it because, like, I mean, it was nerve wracking for me too. But I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah,
it's that kind of movie. So it was really, really good. We also went to a mutual friend's wedding celebration.
That's right.
Over the weekend, which was a lot of fun. You know, it was one of those weddings that got pushed back and delayed because of COVID. And so it was nice that we were finally able to celebrate and get together and see some friends we haven't seen in a while, which was a fantastic time. And just anytime you get a chance to get together with friends, have some food, listen to the music, dance a little bit, you know, mingle and everything, it's a good time. So
especially in a post-COVID world. Oh,
yeah. You can't take those moments for granted anymore. So I really appreciated the fact that they were actually able to do that, you know, actually celebrate with their family here in the Philadelphia area. So congratulations to them as well. I don't know if they want their names mentioned on the podcast. So, you know, just they know who, you know.
Right. If you know, you know. But I was there as well. So I would like to double that set. Yeah, it was very fun. Very glad that we could see some old friends and enjoy the celebration there.
There was a little table of us. You know,
it was our table of
high school alum, which was really neat. I liked that.
Yeah, it worked out great in that aspect. So that was very, very cool.
Yeah. But other than that, other than my movie watching and the wedding celebration we went to, did you do anything else this weekend? I know you had a pretty big event, actually.
So first off, we had our big concert of the year with MMRBQ on Saturday at the Camden Waterfront, which they're now calling Freedom Mortgage Pavilion.
You mentioned, I didn't realize how many names that place has had.
Another new name, it's going to be weird to try and call it that. I'm going to keep forgetting that.
It's BB&T Pavilion.
No, it's not. It's no longer is now. It's another name change.
Okay.
No, the actual concert stuff was a lot of fun. Boy, it was hot weather, though. I don't know what weather God was pissed off at us, because, man, they made it. The heat index was like 102 randomly in the middle of May.
You did something. Because you don't like heat, and so the Mother Nature was like, screw you in particular,
Rich. You have to go outside on this day. We're going to make it the hottest as hell as possible.
Isn't that a weird coincidence? I really think Mother Nature has it out for you.
It was bad. But you know what? We had tents to block the sun. I constantly was swimming in sunscreen I was like applying it like every 2 hours, and people thought I was crazy. But I was like,
You can't burn. I mean, it's not a fun time.
Yeah, and luckily, I think I did a good job because I don't think I got burnt. So, no. But nevertheless, it was still a fun time. Some heavy hitters on the bill was Disturbed, Pretty Reckless, Living Color.
Oh,
yeah, it was a solid lineup. And, you know, it's funny for these basically, it's a day-long festival because there's multiple bands throughout the afternoon and into the evening and into the night. And so I always come away with one that I'm like, oh, I never really would have gave them a chance except at MMRBQ. Last year, I think I said Mammoth was the one. This year, I'm going with Low Cut Connie. They're a local band in Philadelphia. They played, I think they were third up. And they had some interesting tunes that kind of reminded me of almost like a... Exile on Main Street, Rolling Stones kind of a feel.
Okay. Low Cut Connie?
Yep, the band's called Low Cut Connie.
Okay.
And they're just a very fun band, and they mix like a piano in random portions of the song, and they're just having fun up on the stage. It was just a really just cool, chill, really good summer music, which really fit the day because it felt hot, very hot, like a summer day.
Yeah.
So I was digging it. I think that was my find of the MMRBQ this year.
Okay. Well, we can always count on you for those more obscure music references.
Yes, thank you.
You're like a never ending like source of like random music. No, you do a good job with bringing up like these smaller bands that people don't really think about.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those. If I hear something I really like, I just instantly pull out my phone and I hit like the Google Listen or SoundHound or something. Like I just try and boom, and I try to link it all at once. So, I'm always trying to catch like what's the next song that I want to listen to a lot on Spotify or something. So
right.
So yeah, that was Saturday. That was a lot of fun. I got an update on a movie.
Okay.
And I've been keeping this a secret because I specifically wanted to mention it on the podcast.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you right now, Mike.
What is this?
I know. I'm throwing this out of left field, but I'm throwing this for everyone out of left field. But everyone, go, if you can, see this movie in theaters. If it's available on your streaming platform of choice, go see it immediately, ASAP. I watched the movie that was called The Outfit.
The Outfit.
Yes.
I have not heard of that.
I saw one trailer of this. I think it was before, I think it might have been before we went to see Uncharted or one of the lesser, it wasn't a Marvel movie. It was one of the movies we saw in the movie theater. And I can't remember which one it was, but it wasn't attached like a Marvel. So I think this is why a lot of people haven't heard of it or it's been flying under the radar because it's not attached to those Marvel movies. But it's a movie called The Outfit. Just came out, I think it might have been right at the new year or something like that. It is a movie about the Chicago organized crime that uses a tailor as a place to drop off money and tributes to the organized crime's family in that part of town.
Interesting. So is it about the tailor himself, like the kind of guy stuck in the middle?
Yes.
And he's just like, oh, like I got to work for the mob kind of.
And there is something that happens that turns it into a whodunit plot.
Okay.
And the movie's called The Outfit, which is a great double meaning because he's like he's a tailor. So he's creating an outfit. But he's also working for The Outfit, which is another name for the Chicago Mafia.
Right.
So, it's a great, it was one of those movies I was not really expecting a lot of. I was just like, it seems like an all right movie.
Yeah.
And I like mafia movies, so I'm like, it's right up my alley. And
I never heard of it to this point, so far under the radar, I didn't even know it existed.
Yep. Unfortunately, the trailer didn't get attached to like the Marvel movies or anything.
Yeah.
The
Outfit.
It was fantastic.
Okay.
It might go down as one of my early favorites of this year. Just like it just came out of left field. I loved every minute of that movie. It's also like a very simple movie. Like the whole movie takes place in essentially the tailor's shop. It does. I can't think of another scene that happens in that movie. So it's a very simple kind of movie, but the acting is what kind of elevates everything over the top.
So let me get this straight. So it's a single location kind of movie.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. Things like that always fascinate me.
Yep. Well, you got to check this one out.
Okay. Interesting.
Yep. And I'll leave it at that because I don't want to spoil any, you know, because it is a whodunit plot. So I want you to go in, you know, as fresh as possible.
Right.
So I'll leave it at that. Highly recommend.
I remembered the movie finally.
Oh, there you go.
It's Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler, yeah.
So you mentioning this reminded me of it because Taylor and he, Adam Sandler works as a gem cutter in New York. So not a tailor, but it was just thinking of like odd like jobs that you like, you know, people caught in the middle. That's kind of what this movie is. Adam Sandler's a gem cutter, a jeweler, really.
Yeah.
In New York. Adam Sandler's dramatic role was very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they were talking like he might get awards for that.
They were talking
one,
potential, Oscar nominations.
Kind of fizzed out a little bit.
Yeah, so, but it was really cool. A very, like, heart-pounding, edge-of-your-seat type movie where, you know, is involved in so many different conflicts and different connections that you wonder, how is it all going to unravel at the end? You know, everybody's pulling him this way and that way. He's stuck between so many different, deals that have gone wrong. So it's very, very interesting ride. Did you see that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's worth your time.
Yeah. I say so, definitely.
Yep. So there you go. Couple of big movie recommendations.
Lots of good movie recommendations. All right. And we're not even in the entertainment
entree. I know, right? This was just our intro portion as to what we've been up to. But let's get to the news at hand then. Let's launch into the first batch of topics revolve around sports in the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face. And we're going to hit a couple topics in 2 minutes or less with the 2 minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, clock is armed. What do you got?
All right, this week in the 2 minute drill, we have a little bit of football news. First up, Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love had a recent interview in which he suggests he's disappointed once again in being the backup for another year. This will be his third year playing backup to Aaron Rodgers. Of course, makes sense. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best to ever play the game. But Jordan Love says, quote, obviously the dude deserves it, what he's done the last 2 years. But personally for me, it just means that I'm about to be a backup again for this year. And that's all I can control right now. So I was happy for Aaron, but at the same time, it's like, you know?
Yeah, he did not sound very enthused over this demotion again.
Yeah, and it puts, honestly, everybody in an awkward situation because Jordan Love now, going into his third season, this is about the time where you start to think about contract extensions, re-signings, trades.
Yeah, do you really want to keep this relatively unknown player? I mean, even look at Arizona. Kyler Murray's demanding a contract extension already.
Yeah, it's not uncommon. You know, third year, you start thinking about it because rookie contracts only go 5 years. So you got to figure out whether or not you're going to sign him again, right?
Yeah.
I think it'd be really, really odd if the Packers kept him as a backup for 5 straight seasons, waiting for Rodgers to eventually retire or die on the field.
he'll die on the field.
And honestly, if I were Jordan Love, I would sit back, collect my fat backup paycheck, and then when Rodgers does ride off into the sunset, I'll turn to Green Bay and say, you want to jerk me around? Well, now I want out.
Yeah.
And just walk in free agency.
Well, I mean,
because their plan, they're misreading the situation, but their plan, they're going to wait and wait and wait and just expect him to be there when they're done.
Yeah, but the question is, will he still be there, especially if they have to go to a fifth-year option? It could be dicey.
It could be dicey. I think Green Bay is misreading the situation. And like I said, if I were Jordan Love, I would, cause a little bit of a stink for them eventually because, it's not right they're treating him like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of I hate to say it, but it's kind of similar to the Baker Mayfield Deshaun Watson dilemma.
Yeah, I mean, if I were Baker Mayfield, I'd be like, no, I don't think I'm gonna play.
Well, he's already said no to Deshaun Watson's Mexico.
Deshaun Watson
or whatever.
Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended. Mark my words, for a considerable amount of time.
Yeah,
there are two courts in Texas that are looking at criminal charges. It's not getting any better the longer it goes on. they have only kept Baker Mayfield around because they expect Deshaun Watson to miss a considerable amount of time. And if I were Baker Mayfield, I would use that to my advantage.
Yeah. And I don't know if he's going to come back and play. I think
yeah.
Just hold out. Sit out. Yeah.
Sit out. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Other players do it. Why not him? Especially after the Browns have kind of treated him, you know, like he's old news.
Yeah. They're just jerking these guys around. It's not right, man. I tell you, it's not right.
So Jacoby Brissett, you'll be up.
Yeah.
Third string. Good luck.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Martin, you know, we said it here first. But anyway, we didn't get to this topic in the two-minute drill, but we got to touch on this because it's Eagles news. The Eagles have filled another gaping hole in their secondary by signing former New York Giants Pro Bowl cornerback James Bradbury to a one-year, $10 million deal.
We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. What are they going to do at cornerback? What are they going to do at cornerback? Well, there you go.
I mentioned, didn't I say? That episode we talked about, I said James Bradbury's still out there.
And there you
Every single week, it happens on like a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Yep, and Mike was ready.
Who are they going to sign this week, Rich?
Well,
there's rumors they're looking at safety next. I mean, honestly, the only two holes on this team are safety and
possibly quarterback.
Possibly quarterback, depending on how much, you know, Hurts actually shows up. This is a do or die year for Hurts, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they gave him every single weapon and reason to succeed.
They upgraded the roster this year. So there's kind of no other excuse if Hurts doesn't do well. He's in the same boat as Tua, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. It's if you can't succeed with this roster, then there's no future left for you here with this franchise.
Yep. They go into 2023 and they draft one of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's why they got those two first rounders.
Yep.
Question, though, because you brought up this point to me. In the offseason rankings,
power
rankings,
King.
Eagles are number 9.
Yeah, Peter
top
King.
10 team.
Peter King, really high on the Eagles.
What do you think?
It sounds nice.
On paper, you can't deny there's really not many gaps on this team.
Yeah.
It's really tough because they're on paper, but we don't know how it's all going to gel.
So I kind of view Peter King's rankings in two different lenses, because in terms of our division, I get it. I think the Eagles contend for the division title this year.
Right.
I think they go toe to toe with the Eagles and possibly or with the Cowboys, and I think they possibly win the division outright. I think they're in that league, but for him to place them at number 9, I don't know. I don't know if they're a top 10 concrete team, you know?
No?
I don't know. I mean, to me, if you're a top 10 team, you're placing them to win a playoff game just about. I don't know if they do that. I think that might be a little too much.
Is it? I mean, so
they basically, number 9, the top 8 teams are in the division.
Are in the
division.
Or in
the divisional round.
Yeah.
So you're telling me the Eagles make the division? I don't know.
They could be a wild card.
They could.
I mean, they could be a wild card.
But I don't know if I would concretely put them there.
So, but seeing huge 180s is not completely unprecedented, specifically for the Eagles.
No. Yeah, that's right. The Eagles were, 9-7 before they won the Super Bowl?
I think they were 7-9.
7-9, yeah, somewhere in that middle.
No, I'm not saying this is going to be a Super Bowl season, but I've seen two wildly different stories online. One is if you think Hurts is the answer, this could be a year that they strike deep into the playoffs. The other narrative that I see online is quote unquote dream team.
Yeah, right.
So you have to ask yourself, which direction is this needle trending? Because it has the makings of both. My brother's saying via text, he's like, I don't know, man, this team, like, there's a certain excitement, a certain chemistry that has not been felt since 2017. Like, there's a lot of positivity around the Eagles. It seems like they're checking all the boxes. But then in the same breath,
they did that. Yeah,
they did
the
that. They did that in, what was it, 2012, Andy Reid's last season, where it just imploded. What do you think, Rich? Which way is the wind blowing?
Honestly, I hate to say this, but I think it's going to be ended up in the middle. I think the Eagles do improve, but I think they improved to, like, you know, like 11-6.
Boo.
I think,
what a boring answer. We need hot takes, Rich. We need knee-jerk reactions.
I know.
It's 13-4 or it's 0-17. There's nothing in the middle.
Right. I think the honest answer, though, is they end up winning a little bit more, and I think they win the division. Because,
like, double-digit games, they win the division.
I think they go, like, 11-6, win the division. Cowboys probably finish, like, 10-7. maybe they sneak in as a wild card or something.
Because right now, the Eagles are set up to win right now. They have the one of the easiest schedules.
That's right.
Coming up. They have a, you know, on paper, they've filled every hole. So the division's weak. The NFC East, or this NFC in general, is kind of weak.
Yeah, that's another thing, too.
Outside
of,
like, the Cardinals and the Rams.
I'm surprised the Cardinals came to mind. I'd say the Rams. The biggest NFC
teams Packers,
are
the Rams,
the Rams, Packers.
And Bucks.
And Bucks, yeah.
And, like, I mean, the Cardinals still could. I mean, depending. No, you don't think so?
I think you're forgetting DeAndre Hopkins is out for the first half of their season.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's usually the spot where the Cardinals are good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. They could take
Rich,
a step
I don't
back
know,
this year.
Man. They're like, the Eagles are, like, a handful of games away from a Super Bowl.
Yeah, whoa. Damn.
You're saying they win the division.
I think they win the division, but I don't know.
Who do they got to beat in the playoffs? They got to beat one good team.
Well, see,
if you're telling me the only good teams, if you're telling me the only good teams.
Here's the thing, though. You're forgetting whenever you get one of those division winners that just kind of, you know, wins their division. No, they win their division, but, like, that's kind of all you have to say about them. All it takes is a hot wild card team to knock them right out.
I mean, that is true.
Look at the Rams.
But who's the hot wild card team in the NFC?
We don't know yet because we haven't played the season. It wouldn't surprise me.
The 49ers.
It wouldn't surprise me. The 49ers are
still...
The
Detroit Lions.
All right, now you're going off the deep end. But 49ers are still a relatively well-put-together roster.
I think the 49ers, they could be dangerous.
Right, that could get hot at the right time.
Maybe the Saints.
Saints could. They still got a good defense.
The Vikings are always kind of sniffing around.
Kirk Cousins, that bastard. Right. If Kirk
Cousins is going to throw for 17,000 yards and 400 touchdowns, but he's going to go 9-8.
Right. If Kirk Cousins could ever put, like, you know, a string of primetime games together, yeah, that would be nice. So, I mean, you know, it's one of those. I think the Eagles probably win the division, but when you get to the playoffs, all it takes is, you know, a hot wild card team or a team that you don't see coming. So, I don't know. I don't think I would be comfortable to put them in the top 8 or 9. That's you know, you're top 8. You're essentially saying that
top eight is your division winner,
right? You're going to divisional round at that point.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
I don't know. I'm trying to keep my expectations in check because right now, like I said, the Eagles have checked every single box. I went to the offseason and I was like, they need to do A, B, C, and D, and they got through A, B, and C. Like, if they sign a safety, or if they just prove that one of the young guys can step up in that role, all Hurts has to do is perform.
Yeah.
So. Like, I mean, really, that's, like, they need two things to be one of the most complete teams we've had since 2017.
By the way, just for those that are wondering, in Peter King's preseason list, Eagles are 9, Cowboys are 15, and then the Giants in Washington, they're, like, out in Bumble hell. Thank you. In like 25 or something, like way down there on the chart. So just in case you're wondering where everybody else is. So
real competition in the NFC East is the Cowboys, and I think we can beat them. Zeke is washed.
Yeah, but they got Tony Pollard. He's pretty good. It's funny. He's the better running back right now.
He's the better running back.
Yeah.
They need to dump Zeke and save the cap space.
Just cut
your losses, Dallas. Do it. Do it.
Nobody's going to trade for him.
Do it.
They just cut him out.
Just cut him out. He's dead weight.
The
dude can't run. He's done.
He doesn't have the same pop. So
do not spend a top 5 pick on what, Rich?
A running back.
That's right.
Doesn't work. So there you go. Some NFL news there for you. All right. But no, it's time to get to some real drama. You want some hot takes.
I want hot takes.
You want some real drama.
I want the hottest of the hot.
Look no further than the PGA Championship, the second major of the golf year. Ooh, out of four.
It's on fire.
Yes.
I don't know what's happening. You just said a nightmare happened, and you were like, we got to talk about this, so I'm ready.
Yeah, unfortunately, the golfer's nightmare that wakes you up in the middle of the night actually happened, and you're gonna hear the story why, in case you guys didn't follow it, this weekend at the PGA Championship. We're going to talk about the case of Mito Pierra. He was having a solid weekend of golf. He shot in the 60s all throughout the weekend. He finished going into the final round. He was three strokes ahead of everybody else, so a nice lead. And all he had to do was just kind of maintain his pace and make his way towards the final couple of holes, which he did so. He goes all the way to the last hole, the 18th hole, and all he has to do is the following. Par wins, bogey forces a playoff. So he's in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
That's all he has to do, par the hole. But I guess, you know, I think he got a little bit aggressive. Nerves started to get to him. And on the tee shot, with everything on the line, the nightmare scenario happens right off of the tee. The first shot on that last hole, where do you think it goes?
In the water?
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Yeah.
So that's bad. That's like, what is that? That's like basically, like, what, two strokes immediately.
So, yeah,
right?
it's another stroke penalty. It's a stroke penalty. You lose a stroke right off of that, and then you got to tee off again.
So
you're already a stroke behind, and you got to complete the hole.
Right. Oh, man.
So, unfortunately, on that, he's approaching, trying to scramble for at least bogey. Maybe get lucky and you chip it in or something on par, but at least try and finish with bogey. Maybe get lucky on a par chip to win. And on his approach to get to the green, he does that what something like you and I would do. He chips the ball over the green. So now he can't even putt
for bogey. Yeah.
Yes. And yes, folks, he needed a par to win, bogey to get to the playoff. He finished the last hole with a double bogey.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
So he goes from outright possibly outright winning it to now he's not even in the championship playoff.
Man.
On one hole. Wiped it all out.
That really is a nightmare scenario. And really, it's just that if he tees off anywhere but the water, if he had accidentally, like, completely messed it up and it only rolls 3 feet in front of him, it still would have been better, basically.
Yes, because then you're not dealing with the stroke penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It would have been better if he, trickle it down or something.
Yeah, if it lands, like, 10 feet in front of him, it still would have technically been better.
Right.
And not only that, but it doesn't rattle you so much, I feel like. That's the big thing. Like,
yeah.
He shoots it straight into the water. I know, you know, the only golfing I've ever done is, what do you call that thing? The driving range and that,
yes,
Top Golf we tried. You mess up one shot, and it's just all over. And I'm playing for nothing.
Yeah.
I'm playing for nothing except to make a fool of myself. You mess up a shot, and you're just, like, completely rattled.
Yes.
So I can't even imagine shooting it straight into the water in the last hole and just... It just must have undone him.
Well, are you ready to hear the financial implications of this?
Well, I assume it's going to be quite large.
Yes. Hold your pocketbooks, everybody. Hold your wallets. Wait till you hear this, because if he had the par, he wins outright.
Right.
So, unfortunately, with him falling... And there was a playoff that was going to happen. So not only does he fall from one, he falls to third.
Oh, man.
Not the second. He falls to third because
there
was a playoff that was already going to happen. So instead of winning the grand prize of $2.7 million by him finishing third, he only cracks $1 million.
He lost only one.
I know, but...
But he could have had more than double.
Because of that shot into the water, he lost $1.7 million.
Oh, my God!
Yes.
Man, that is...
Look,
that's rough.
Look, everybody out there that makes fun of me for golf and wanting to bring up golf on the podcast, golf is a sport. There you go. This is an...
What does that have to do with golf being a sport?
That is intense pressure. You mean to tell... I want to see you try and complete a hole with $1.7 million on the line. All right? You people think golf is just like, oh, you know, farty-arty people on the course and la-la-la-la-la and all this stuff. Uh-uh. This is serious stakes on the line. And this is an example of it. When the worst case scenario, the nightmare scenario happens, and the worst part is it's like a train wreck. You know, it's like the whole time you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening. But also, I have to watch. Like, I can't
you can't look
away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but like internally, you're just like, oh, my God, he's losing. He's choking.
It's very high stakes. You're absolutely right. I don't know what that has to do with it being a sport. I would point to like the coordination and the precision and, you know, that stuff as making it worthy of it being a sport. But I
thank
mean,
you.
Also, the stakes. No, I mean, it's just as much a sport as NASCAR, you know, more so.
If you consider NASCAR
you
a sport,
consider NASCAR
I get
sport,
to consider golf a sport. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But
if you consider, what is it, horseback racing, where the horse does all the work.
Yeah, horse
a sport
racing.
That I kid, the horse doesn't do all the work. But, you know, I mean, the golf is as much a sport as the other, as, you know, other stuff. It, of course, it's not as physical as football or basketball, but it's a different type of sport. Not every sport is just how hard you can hit somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
And also golf, kind of like baseball, it's one of those sports where you have to finish the 72 holes.
Yeah.
You don't get to run out the clock.
You can't just kneel the last four plays of the game. You can't just dribble, you know, just for the last 30 seconds. You have to
go all 72 holes.
You actively have to participate the entire time.
Yep. And if you mess up on hole number 72, it's just as bad as messing up on hole number 2.
You have to be at the top of your game the entire time.
Yeah.
You can't let other players carry you, and you know, sometimes you catch a lucky break, but at the end of the day, you still have to perform every single play.
Yep. And
listen to me defending golf for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's right.
You're right.
After 8 years of this nonsense, you know, you gotta
thank you. Thank you for being on my side on this.
Of course. Football's still better, but you know.
I won't disagree with you. Football's a lot of fun. But golf definitely deserves to be up there in terms of the heavy-hitting sports realms. And I think this is an example of it. Poor Mito Pierra.
That does suck.
Yeah. Utter collapse. And he goes from, you know, possibly winning to now not even in the championship playoff. So he finishes third. There had to be a championship playoff between the other two golfers that finished on the same level, Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoris. Very fun to say. In that three-hole playoff, Justin Thomas pulled out the win and his second PGA championship. But that must have been a little, you know, crazy too, because, you know, they already finished their 18 holes that day, you know, like half an hour ago. And it's like, oh, you guys got to come back. You guys got to play three holes. Don't undress. You guys got to come back.
Yeah, right. They're already like hitting the bar and they're like, no, come back.
Yeah, no. Stop drinking. Come back here. You have to play more. I think that's another sport where I don't think there's really an equivalent of that.
Yeah, where it's just like, well, I'm done for the day. And then you get called
back.
No,
you're not. You got to come back out.
It's like, surprise.
Do you want to play for $2 million or not? Come on back.
He's like, puts down the drink. All right, fine.
Yeah, if I have to. But nope, nevertheless, Justin Thomas with the crazy story to come back in this from out of nowhere and winning his second major, his second PGA championship.
And
unfortunately,
what, $2.7 million?
Yep, and he
like
wins
that?
The $2.7 million.
Man.
You know,
it's
this
a payday.
To go back to sports, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, we saw both of those at play at the PGA Championship. Definitely the agony of defeat being shown.
I'm sure he'll be okay.
I don't know, man. That's a rough loss.
That's rough, but I think $1 million eases the blow somewhat.
Maybe. But
maybe.
I don't know. That's going to be rough.
He must be doing all the talk circuits right now, getting paid for every media appearance.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, look, the last collapse I can think of like this was Jordan Spieth at the Masters.
And he never came back. He's dead now.
Well, he's not dead, but we haven't heard from him, really.
Basically dead.
So, I don't know. Like, these are the kind of things that kind of ruin careers and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if you let it get to you, absolutely. I mean, he could use it as a chip on his shoulder, fire to come back in the next one, or it could go the Justin Spieth route. Remember when we started this podcast, Justin Spieth was the next Tiger Woods?
Yeah.
Or rather, Justin Spieth was the next Rory McIlroy, who was the next Tiger Woods.
Sure, let's go with that, yeah. But, yeah, you know, it's you know, those kind of collapses, they stick with you. They haunt you.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully he can bounce back. Is he going to be in the next big golf thing?
Probably.
The U.S. Open.
Yes, next one's U.S. Open.
I know
Open.
That because I incorrectly researched which PGA thing was happening.
Good job, Mike. Another quick just kind of little capper here. Tiger Woods was in the PGA Championship, and unfortunately, he withdrew.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, yeah,
injuries
he tried...
flaring up?
Yeah, he tried to get a round going, but he ended up withdrawing, which could put some damper on his comeback year here. And there's been a lot of talk. The next championship is the U.S. Open, but then after that, it is the British Open. And this year, the British Open is at the iconic St. Andrews Golf Club, which is pretty much the second most well-known golf course in the world other than Augusta. And Tiger Woods loves that course as well. So there might be talk that he misses the U.S. Open to prepare for the British Open.
I mean, yeah, why not?
Do you
not?
Think that's a fair tactic if he does so?
I mean, yeah, it's he doesn't need, you know, at this point in his career, he doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the glory. He's, you know, playing because he likes to play and because he's one of the greatest and, you know, it's he doesn't want to give it up. So you might as well save what you have left in the tank for the matchup that you're really looking forward to.
Yeah, I agree. I think
it's this isn't like the Triple Crown in horse racing where you can like just skip the first two and then show up to the third one and just ruin somebody's chance at, you know, having a full sweep. Golf isn't like that. So, yeah, pick and choose whichever ones you want to go to. It's all fair game.
And I would agree, St. Andrews is such an iconic and legendary course that it would be, to me, that would make sense. Save your energy up for the British Open and skip the U.S. Open if you must.
Yeah, like at this point, he doesn't need to play for anything other than, you know, pride and ego. So just save it up for the one you really want to give it your all for.
Okay, so if Tiger Woods follows our advice, he may not be in the U.S. Open in June.
Just take a break.
Take a breath.
Take a breath.
I just like that. Just take it, bruh. I like that. But there you go. Some golf news to end the sports sampler. And on that note, we're going to take a little bit of a break here, but don't go anywhere because we still have the entertainment entree and the non-fortune cookie odd news still to come here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the show. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Ready for the weekend? Happy Friday. Hi, my name's Marie, and I'm an artist who's been making Happy Friday doodles every week for over 7 years. And now you can own my art collection in this Volume 1 and Volume 2 art series. These doodles span across multiple themes, yearly festivities, various countries, languages, and more. Both coffee table books have something for everyone and are the perfect conversation starter or gift for a friend. Really, anyone who enjoys a good weekend. Available on Amazon, Ingram, BookBaby, Barnes & Noble, and more. Visit happyfridaydoodles.com/books and get your copies today. Let's celebrate the best day of the week. Happy Friday.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
The Game Show Marathon is back. back for another record-breaking year.
Watch as game show fans recreate 24 of their favorite game shows, all to raise money for Child's Play.
Child's Play helps and heals children in hospitals and domestic shelters through the power of play.
You can watch the fun go down on June 4, 2022.
And you can donate now
at GameShowMarathon.com.
Oh yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done all the sports news. We went into the world of golf, and Mikey followed me. I think that's what happens after 400 episodes.
Yeah, you just you unwittingly become a fan of golf somehow, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, excellent.
I had no choice.
No choice for Mikey. He had to put up with it. But thank you, Mike. At least you indulge me on the golf news and everything like that.
Yeah, it's always a fun time.
All right, but now we leave the sports realm and we go into movies, music, TV, and other entertainment stuff like that in the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
All right, it is time for the Entertainment Entree, and with that, we're going to get into the part of the show where Mike is going to let you know what to keep an eye out for this weekend with new releases in movies, TV, and stuff like that. It is time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mikey, what do you got for us?
All right, well, we're going to kick things off with television. It's a big week for sci-fi TV. We have Obi-Wan Kenobi premiering this Friday on Disney Plus.
Oh, my God!
That's right, the show picks up a decade after. I am super excited as
it's
well.
Star Wars!
It looks really good. It picks
it's
up.
It's Ewan McGregor!
That's right. Ewan McGregor is reprising his role as Ben Kenobi a decade after Revenge of the Sith as we find him on Tatooine looking after a very young Luke Skywalker. But wait, there's more. Hayden Christensen is also reprising his role as Darth Vader for the series, and fans are eager to see the inevitable rematch between Obi-Wan and Vader.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a rematch. I remember in episode 4 they mentioned the last time we met, but they're not talking about Mustafar. They're talking about another time.
Apparently
in between 3 and 4, right?
Yeah. So
what happens, Rich?
We'll find out because Disney is now writing the script and creating their lore. This is no longer, you know, the expanded universe from the 90s and 2000s. It's all up to what Disney wants to show as the time in between episode 3 and episode 4 between Obi-Wan, Luke, and Darth Vader.
I am very excited to see what happens here in this series.
I'm excited. I'm wondering if they're going to tie in Jedi Fallen Order.
There were some rumors that,
yeah,
that could happen because it does follow that time period of the Inquisitors.
Yep.
And you know,
I think that would be a great way to tie in like this whole universe.
A really smart way to connect the video game world with the TV world, which is already connected to the movies, and just create one all encompassing universe.
Yeah. And then really expand
Fallen Order 2.
You would have a Fallen Order TV show or something.
That would be amazing.
I'm just saying.
That would be amazing.
You're already doing it with the video games.
Get it done. Get it done, Disney.
Wouldn't surprise
me. And so far, the Star Wars shows have been really good. Like, I've enjoyed Mandalorian. I've enjoyed Boba Fett. Looking forward to Ahsoka Tano. What's the other one? There's another one in the works. I can't remember the name of it. But they have a couple.
Yep.
But so far, good stuff from Disney and Lucasfilm.
Yep.
With the Star Wars universe. So keep it up with Obi-Wan Kenobi. But that's not all. Because Stranger Things Season 4. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I totally forgot about that.
When I was researching this, I was like, wait, both of these shows on Friday. That's right. Stranger Things Season 4 coming out Friday on Netflix. Only
so much.
But hold on. Only 7 of the 9 episodes are dropping this week. The final 2 episodes are coming out July 1st. So I don't know why.
Aren't they more like movies or something?
I've heard they're very large episodes. Each one is like basically like an hour plus long. Yeah. So maybe that's why. But it's a very strange release schedule. But anyway, watch the first 5/6 of the, or 3/4.
I don't even know.
I can't do math. seven ninths. What is 7/9?
I guess that would be close to 3/4.
Is it close to? So watch the first 3/4 of Stranger Things Season 4 this Friday. Watch the last quarter of it. July 1st.
Jaloo. What a month. Jaloo.
Jaloo.
Jaloo. Hey, Mike, what was the month you were born?
Jaloo.
Jaloo.
Oh, God.
Call Hulu up. We got the new sponsorship next month. July is now Jaloo.
I like it. Hulu should do like a special like event in July called Jaloo.
All right. Netflix gets to have their say with this, you know, Stranger Things. But in July, it's Hulu's time. It's Jaloo's time.
I am only watching Hulu in July.
Only Hulu in Jaloo.
For Jaloo. You know, maybe I'm a little weird because of the movies coming out this week. We have 2 really interesting movies. First up, the Bob's Burgers movie hits theaters this week. If you've seen the animated series, you know it's secretly one of the funniest shows on TV that nobody seems to talk about. A family runs a small, struggling burger shop and must find a way to save it after a sinkhole opens in front of it. It is a rip-roaring good time. I love the animated series. It's so good. Definitely go check out Bob's Burgers, the movie, hitting theaters this week. But the real surprise here is Top Gun Maverick, the sequel that is 36 years in the making, finally hitting theaters after 2 years of COVID delays.
Yeah, there you go. We're playing some volleyball music.
Playing with the boys once again.
Yes.
But you know what? It may have been worth the wait because despite any sort of logic, it bucks all critical trends for super late sequels, and it scored an 80 on Metacritic.
Wait, what did it score?
An 80 on Metacritic.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, and Rotten Tomatoes is even stranger. It has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
The probability on 1 4-wheel machine is 1.5 to 1. On 3 machines in a row, it's in the billions. It cannot happen. Would not happen. Momo, what's the matter with you?
Is that how we're feeling
it
towards that?
It cannot happen. It should not happen. It's impossible.
Well, anything can happen when you're playing with the boys. Yeah, anything can happen with the boys.
And anything did happen despite, like I said, I honestly think it's a misprint that nobody's caught yet, but somehow it has a 97 Rotten Tomatoes with an 8.4 out of 10. I don't understand how it can be this good.
It's going to be the Godfather Part 2 of this era.
That is so upsetting to me.
Why?
Because you can count on one hand the number of sequels that have been as good or better than the original, and now you have to add Top Gun Maverick to the
list. Yes! Let it happen, Mike. You're playing with the boys. Anything is possible.
Playing with the boys, that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
Yes, there you go. I also love even the actual music video for Playing with the Boys is volleyball.
It's weird.
Yes, Playing with the Boys. Everything volleyball. I don't know why. When did volleyball get so manly?
It's the epitome of manliness.
There you go. I don't want to be the object of desire. There you go.
I don't know why, but spoken lyrics always make them funnier. I just I don't want to be the object of desire.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So there you go.
You better do a transition because I'll stick to Top Gun. I'll keep talking about Top Gun all day long.
You know, Rich, here's the weird thing is that we're kind of still talking about Top Gun because Top Gun producer Jeremy Bruckheimer.
Oh, we have a serious topic about
this.
That's right. I forgot.
He gave an interview with the Sunday Times, a UK media establishment, and he revealed some unsettling truths about the film industry that we all kind of knew and understood. But like to hear somebody so blatantly and openly speak to them as a matter of fact, you know what I mean? It's not like, well, you know, it's kind of this, kind of that. He basically just laid out and be like, yes, this is how the film industry is. So it's a little troubling and a little, and also interesting, though.
It's interesting, but yeah, it's a little kind of disheartening that he was kind of this open about it, you know? It's like when corruption is kind of in the open and you're like, oh my gosh, like they're not even trying to hide it now, you know? So yeah, this was an interesting interview I saw with the Sunday Times that happened before the Top Gun Maverick premiere in London. So,
how do you want to take this?
How about we just go on a couple of quotes that I pulled from the story here. So this is Top Gun producer Jerry Bruckheimer, who's also one of the most well-known Hollywood producers as well. He's produced other, you know, classic 90s and 2000s movies as well. Music and movies, sure, why not? There's music
everything.
In there. There's everything in there. I'm still on Kenny Loggins over there. I'm sorry. but anyway... So here's some quotes. One of the things they were talking about was, working with Tom Cruise. And he says that no matter what the movie it is that he's producing, when he pitches it to the movie studios, he says, quote, I still get the same list of the same 10 men the movie studios prefer in the movie. You still get on the list Tom Cruise, Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Chris Hemsworth. And chances are you get one of these big names on your project and you've got a good shot at getting the movie made, end quote. Kind of implying that, unfortunately, with the movie studios, it's about the acting crew that you've got more than the story or the screenplay.
He is 100% correct. When I was doing my master's program for writing, I took some screenwriting classes, and they mentioned specifically part of the business of screenwriting is not so much the script itself, but attachments. So when you can get someone attached to a script, you can, you know, pass it on to a DiCaprio and be like, hey, you know, do you want to do this movie? And if you can get people attached to it, you can go to the studio and say, hey, I got this idea, and we have, you know, Spielberg set to direct, and we got DiCaprio lined up for, you know, the lead actor. They are much more likely, obviously, to greenlight something that has people attached to it. And of course, the bigger studios have better, bigger names have a shot at getting these guys here. So that's really what a lot of it is. If you can get a big name like a Mark Wahlberg attached to an Uncharted, it has a much better shot of getting made than with a lesser known actor like Nolan North attached to that script.
I'm a special kind of white guy.
I mean, I hate to say it. It is kind of like that.
Yeah.
I'm a special kind of white guy.
I mean, do you think, but really, do you think Uncharted would have gotten made with Nolan North versus Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, probably not. But it's a shame because I really, as I said before, I felt like Mark Wahlberg is just completely the wrong actor for that Sully character.
But that's probably
how it got the movie made.
That is literally how Hollywood works. If you ever see a movie and you're like, how in the hell did they convince this person, or how in the hell did this movie get greenlit? It's usually because some producer somewhere was able to attach a name to it in order to push through a project.
I'm a special kind of white guy.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's really disappointing because you see guys in roles that really shouldn't, you know, be there sometimes. Like Mark Wahlberg. I keep harping on Mark Wahlberg, but I'm sure there's other, examples.
Yeah, and I mean, you might be hearing these quotes and you might be going, well, duh. But I think it's another...
No, but really look at it, guys.
But yeah, I think it's another thing that this is out in the open and Jerry Bruckheimer is like, unfortunately, this is just the way it is. And if you want to be in the movie industry, you have to accept these truths. And unfortunately, this next quote may not be what some people want to hear as well, because following that list of the same 10 men, he also goes on to say further that actresses, women, are harder as you know, on the flip side here, women are harder. It's just not that strong a list yet to take to the movie studios as well. So, I mean, this, it really is like kind of white guys only.
I'm a special kind of white guy.
Yeah, so it may not be as ubiquitous as you think it is.
You know who, this is just something random that I thought of, just popped in my head. You know who might be on that list for women?
Who?
Zoe Saldana. Mm-hmm. Like, she's in a lot of big movies recently. Guardians of the Galaxy. They have her in Avatar. They have her in, obviously, all the Marvel movies.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that, because another quote in that article says that Jerry Bruckheimer is talking to Margot Robbie about a Pirates of the Caribbean movie with her in it. But he says that, quote, we are developing two separate Pirates of the Caribbean scripts, one specifically with her and one specifically without her in case she decides not to do it.
Yeah.
So it's not an even playing field here.
It's definitely not. I mean, think about it. Outside of, like, some of the older actresses, like, why can't I think of her name?
Who?
Devil Wears Prada. What's her name? The one everybody loves.
Helen Mirren?
No.
No?
The other lady. Oh, my God. This is, like, really sad. No. This is kind of proving our point.
Yeah.
she's a multiple Academy Award winner. Why can't I think of her name? Anyway, her, some others. I swear I'm not that type of person. But it just goes to show you, like, outside of, like, maybe a handful of them, Meryl Streep.
Oh, Meryl Streep. Oh,
how in the hell?
We're bad.
We should just never be allowed to talk about movies again.
I'm a special kind of white guy.
there you go. We're just sorry.
Sorry.
Whoops.
I'm a special kind of white guy.
Boy, we have never unintentionally proven a point on the podcast as well as we did right there.
Damn it, movie studio.
Damn it. But it goes to show you, other than Meryl Streep, and maybe, like, you know, one or two others, there's really no female lead that I can think of that sells a movie on her own. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of the that's not to say that they can't. It's just that Hollywood hasn't realized it yet.
Yeah, but, you know, like, the movie studios, that's kind of how they're viewing this, and Jerry Bruckheimer is just outright admitting to it in this interview. In addition to, this also goes to, you know, the actual content of the movie. It isn't just actors and actresses and stuff like that. He goes on to talk about how you have to make something without offending everybody and how complicated it gets. He says, quote, you don't want to shut off potential markets. When you make an expensive movie, you want to give the movie studio the best opportunity to make money. So now it has gotten harder. You have to figure out a way to create a villain who is either multinational or doesn't have a certain home, end quote, which that's kind of interesting to think of. Yeah, like, you can't have, like, just your typical, oh, he's a Soviet bad guy from the Cold War. You have to create someone who doesn't have...
I mean, Soviets would still work. No. But
yeah, but other than that, but I mean, we're talking about, like, you can't have someone who's...
Right, you can't have...
A bad Chinese guy, because then China's going to be like, we're not going to show your film.
Right. And two...
It can't be North Korean. North Korea will be like, we're not going to show your film.
Well, they probably wouldn't either. They tried that, remember, with... I can't remember the movie with Seth Rogen that caused that whole kerfuffle. I can't remember what it was.
Journalist or something. Yeah, it was something like, yeah, he assassinates the...
Oh, man.
Yeah. We're blanking on our movie knowledge.
Yeah. Here. It was like, there was like a hack at Sony, then they weren't going to release the movie, then they were going to release it, but only on streaming. It was a whole thing. But the interview.
Yes, the interview. There you go. The journalist. I don't know. Whatever.
Close enough.
Whatever it was called.
This segment's a train wreck. like Hollywood.
Just like the movie industry.
Just like the movie industry. But
fantastic.
I'm a special kind of white guy.
But again, Bruckheimer, I mean, this is the thing. These are all things where you kind of suspect it. You kind of know it already. But to hear it outwardly and just so blatantly confirmed, like, because he's saying it
just in an interview.
In an interview where it's like, yeah, this is just standard operating procedure. Yeah. You know, it's not. But again, he's absolutely right. It's a very difficult thing because the largest movie market in the world is not the U.S. It's China.
Yeah.
Look,
remember John Cena had to apologize to China. Remember that he had to apologize to China because he mentioned Taiwan as a country or something.
Yeah,
he had to speak Chinese.
It's very,
they
very
forced John Cena to get on a camera and speak Chinese and apologize.
It's crazy.
So that the movie could still come out in China.
This is the thing. Maybe I'm just weird like this, but I feel like personally, I would not mind that much if there was like a bad American villain. We watch tons of shows and movies with bad American villains, but I guess it's one thing when your country makes a movie with a bad, you know, homegrown villain than if another country were to make a movie about a bad American villain. You know what I mean? And because I guess Hollywood is the you know, outside of Bollywood, Hollywood is the leading movie, you know, force in entertainment. So they do kind of have to be careful. You can't just upset. It's not so much about shutting. It is a business decision, but also you don't want to go around like playing into stereotypes and just offending people. Yeah, you have to be careful with it. But I think this is one of those areas where maybe movies that want to push those types of boundaries or don't want to have to worry about that kind of stuff could, you know, focus on streaming services. You know?
Yeah.
Like, China controls the state the media as well there. China's just a tricky subject.
Apparently it is, too, because speaking of China and Taiwan, there was a follow-up question that eagle-eyed fans spotted that a Taiwanese flag for their independence used to be on Maverick's jacket in the 1985 Top Gun original movie. But now, in the Top Gun Maverick poster, that specific flag has been removed from Maverick's jacket. And was it done to appease China? And all Bruckheimer says is that you just need to enjoy the movie. We make movies to entertain people. Don't worry about that stuff. But at the same time, that seems like that's why it was done.
Yeah.
Especially if you got John Cena to speak damn Chinese.
Yeah.
To apologize for a comment he made.
I mean, reading between the lines, just enjoy the movie, that's a very dismissive statement.
Yeah.
It's like somebody's like, hey, what about this issue? And they're like, don't, just watch it.
Yeah, just watch it. Stop thinking. Leave your brain at the door.
Yeah, yeah. Which is very unfortunate because, there are, global issues, important issues that art should not shy away from. You know, we've had this conversation before that, you know, entertainers and artists should be able to talk about the things that they want to talk about in the way that they want to talk about them, you know? So does this also fit in your worldview when it comes to, say, comedy, about not having to tiptoe around certain subjects?
Oh, you know? Yeah. I mean, and literally, you're asking me on a great time because I literally also came off watching the George Carlin documentary on HBO.
Yeah.
I mean, literally.
Somebody who pushed the boundaries.
Yeah.
To comedy.
At least here in America, we have freedom of speech. You get the...
That was a very patriotic statement, yes.
I know, but it means something.
They have it in other places as well.
I know, but... You have the right to say stuff. You don't have the right to just be offended and be like, oh, I don't like it, get rid of it or something. Like, uh-uh. Like, if a comedian wants to talk about certain things, they're allowed to. If a film wants to talk about certain things, they're allowed to.
You have to be very careful when it comes to censoring arts and entertainment, because that
right.
is where creatives can explore taboo subjects.
Right.
That's not to say go around intentionally insulting people or offending people, but if Maverick has a Taiwanese flag on his jacket, he's not, you know, specifically saying in the movie one way or the other. It's just a visual touch, and you can interpret it however you see fit. I don't see there being anything wrong with that.
But
you know,
but I guess when they're doing this for distribution, they had to take it off, or else China would have been like, ah, how dare you We're going to make you apologize in Chinese.
Yeah.
They're going to drag Tom Cruise to Beijing, and he's going to have to talk in Chinese and apologize.
So strange.
I'm sorry, that John Cena clip, that'll never get out of my head how awkward that was.
I didn't see it, so I have no idea what you're talking about, but it sounds like it's really weird.
Yeah, I think it was for Fast and Furious. It was for one of those movies.
Well, I want him to apologize for that movie to me, too, because...
He should just apologize
to everyone.
But he was on, like, a talk show, and he was promoting the film, and he mentioned something that Taiwan is a great country, and because of that, China threatened to not release the film in China, and John Cena had to like get like his cell phone out and had to speak in Chinese and make this awkward video apologizing that he said Taiwan is a country. That's it. That was what they were upset about, was he said Taiwan's a country. And
well, we're not going to get into the geopolitics of it, yeah, but
I think it's a little ridiculous.
Like, I think people need to calm down a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It you have to be willing to express. Artists have to be willing to express themselves, push the envelope, and see where the line is. And I don't like any veil or hint of unnecessary censorship, if you will.
Yeah. Let's avoid hate speech, but let's not be afraid to walk around taboo subjects, because that's...
Should we even... When somebody is afraid to say something... is a country. I think that might be a good good line.
You should be able to say that
Taiwan is a country.
This is the thing that I'm trying very hard not to get into the geopolitics of it, but like, who cares?
China,
if John
apparently.
Cena, but what does John Cena saying that, is that going to destabilize all of 1.5 billion people in China? The people are just going to rise up and take control of the country from the government.
Yes.
Like they need to.
That's going
to
do it.
They need to chill out. I know it's a touchy subject.
There it is. The revolution.
I don't think.
Starting
I don't,
right there. The revolution.
Honestly, I don't think John Cena is at risk of ruining whatever facade China has created about the validity of Taiwan or invalidity of Taiwan as a country. You know, I don't think John Cena's statements can be taken as U.S. foreign policy.
Yeah, but apparently for the movie studios, and it was so much of a threat that they had to get John Cena on the horn.
It's crazy. It's crazy. At some point, I would love some studio in Hollywood to be like, you know what? We don't care. Taiwan's a country.
Well,
we're going to have it in a movie.
Doctor Strange, too, kind of did that, because there was the hint that the girl, I forget the girl's name now, but the one, America
Chavez, yeah.
There's a hint that her parents were lesbian, and China said, oh, we don't want that. And Marvel said,
too bad.
Too bad. That's in the movie.
Because here's the secret. As much as China blusters, they also would still like those movies.
Yeah. Especially the Marvel movies. Yep.
Because are you telling me a country's going to be like, we're not going to show the most popular movie ever of the year?
Good luck with that.
What do you think? Your 2 billion people, 2 billion people are more likely to revolt over not showing Doctor Strange than they are to some washed up pro wrestler suggesting Taiwan's a country.
Welcome to the 21st century. We're going to have one of these days, we're going to have a revolt that a movie is not being shown in China. That'll be the true revolt.
That'll be the tipping point.
Power to the people.
Yeah.
There you go.
They deserve to have their movies uncensored, yes, is all I'll say.
And with that, we have to end the entertainment news right there. But we still got one more segment left. The non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool. Uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda da bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
Ah!
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, 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 go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay! what does that mean?
And now, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So, sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for hell of a ride.
Woo, odd news!
That's right, everyone. If you thought John Cena apologizing in Chinese wasn't weird enough, get ready for the non-fortune cookie odd news here in this segment. Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds a weird and wacky story and keeps it hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started. So where are we heading to in the odd news?
Oh, Mike, that should...
question,
yeah,
I know.
You should know this.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's another Florida story here for you. But this is interesting. We're going to talk about a Florida bride here.
Okay. Any Ferris wheels being married?
No.
Damn.
Ferris wheels.
That's a callback. You want to talk about 400 episodes?
Yeah, that's one of your favorite odd news stories.
Yeah, that was like first 20 episodes.
A woman who married a Ferris wheel. That's where we are. Dating.
Bruce. Was it Bruce the Ferris
Bruce
wheel?
Bruce the Ferris. Yeah, his name was Bruce the Ferris wheel.
Always remember.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder how they're doing.
I know. They're coming up on 10 years almost.
Yeah, that's right. We should send him a wedding present.
How are the kids? Are the kids like tilt-a-whirls, carousels? How does that work?
Yeah. They just blink.
They just blink. I'm so proud of little Billy. He had his first blink today.
He blinked.
But no Ferris wheel. So we have a bride in Florida, lovely bride.
No, this is a human wedding.
Okay. It's
very good.
We have to specify.
Yes, because we had non-human.
We've had airplane parts and Ferris wheels and animals.
Yeah, that's true.
And
we had an airplane. Oh my God, that's right.
We've had a lot of weird weddings, okay?
Wow.
So in the odd news, it's more likely someone is marrying an inanimate object than they are another human. Just keep that in mind.
Wow, you're really hitting the hits. I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah, the airplane
married,
parts.
Married an airplane part, yeah.
That is not made up, folks. Go and look it up.
Yep. Here's the wedding story here for this week. It actually has to do with the reception afterwards.
Okay. That's when all the fun happens.
Yep. Because a Florida bride and the cook behind the catering company that she used for the reception are now facing felony charges after they decided on their own accord to add marijuana to all of the food that was being served at this reception.
You want to cook crystal meth?
I'm the cook.
Yeah, so maybe not crystal meth, but it's a drug. It's marijuana.
All the food?
All of the food,
that's
yes.
That's a lot of food.
It was done in a very clever method. They decided to put marijuana herbs and THC in the pasta, the olive oil, the herb dip, and the salad.
Wow.
Yeah, they went all out.
They're hitting like several courses.
You want to cook crystal meth?
I'm the cook.
Yeah, just... I mean, yeah, that's taking care
of most...
They
hit several courses. They got the salad, they got the pasta.
Yeah, that's taking care of most of the reception.
Yeah, man.
According to the police, numerous guests were treated for symptoms consistent with that of those using illegal drugs.
Well, yeah, because a whole bunch of people at this wedding were like, never experienced this before, so all of a sudden, it's like, oh my God, it must have been chaos.
According to police reports, several of the attendees said that they felt ill, they felt high, they felt that they were having crazy thoughts. I wish they would have elaborated what exactly it was.
Yeah.
The best man says that, I felt like I had been drugged.
Well, you're right.
Ding, 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 ding.
You win.
What did he win, Johnny? That's correct.
He won a trip to the emergency room.
You want to cook crystal meth?
I'm the cook.
What a wild... I can only imagine how ridiculous that wedding must have been.
Also...
There's probably, like, old family members. There's kids. Everybody is just...
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, even if you think this is funny or you think this is a good time... Usually your reception, you have, like,
everybody.
You have other people at your wedding, you
there's
know, in your
Nana.
Family.
Nana's 92 years old. Yeah. She lived through the war. And you're getting her all hopped up. And there's little Billy.
Get the turkeys, get the turkeys, get the turkeys. Get the turkey, get the turkey. Get the turkey.
Yeah, they're probably...
That's
yeah.
what you went with?
I don't know. I thought that would have been funny. Like, like you're just focused on the turkey.
Get the turkeys, get the turkeys, get the turkeys. Get the turkey, get the turkey. Get the turkey.
Yeah, that's what they're focusing on
yeah.
while they're high. Get the turkey.
So you got 92-year-old Nana. You got 9-year-old Billy, you know.
And they're all getting high.
You got people who have never taken it before. It's just, you got like 100 people crammed into a space with like loud music and lights and alcohol. And now you're going to add marijuana on top of everything. It just sounds like, I don't know.
The police also noted that the best man could quote, could not answer a single question correctly. Mike, you are my best man. How would you have handled that if you suddenly got high in the middle of my reception?
Well, I don't know. Probably not well.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd be able to give your speech.
No, definitely not.
Got it. Yeah, I got it somewhere. Hey, you guys looking good over there. How you doing?
It would not have gone nearly as well. Oh, my God. I probably would have eaten more, though.
Yeah. Everyone would have had the munchies.
Yeah.
Would that be like an endless cycle? Because you keep eating, and then you keep
having more munchies.
They're
just like churning out like food nonstop. Yeah. But then, because it's all laced, you just keep eating more. People are like vomiting everywhere because they're eating so much.
Yeah. There's going round and around.
It's like Stand By Me, that scene in Stand By Me.
Somebody during one of the dance numbers probably would have screamed like that.
It's probably actual audio from the event.
Yeah. Wow. 69-year-old guest Nancy Postma.
Oh, no.
Said that during the night she felt like she, quote, had no control over her body. Wow. That could be taken interestingly.
Something just came over me and I took my clothes off.
Everybody's just slumped down in their seats like, whoa, man. Nobody's like moving or doing anything.
Cops also said that another guest became, quote, loud and unruly when he was told to go to the hospital. So I guess they advised people if they were really feeling it, go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And this guy was like, no, this is great. I don't want that.
I mean, there were probably some people there that were loving it.
My God, what the hell's going on tonight?
I just feel bad for the old Nanas and the little Billies.
Apparently, one of the bridesmaids
oh, no.
felt that something was up and asked the bride, was there something in the food, to which Bryant just giggled.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
That is a very, you know, I'm going to take issue with this bride here. I know that weddings are for, you know, the bride and the groom. That's a very selfish act
yes.
to put everybody through that, because as much as weddings are for the bride and the groom, it's also you're putting on a party for your guests and you want everyone to have a good time. You might think that's your idea of a good time, but old Nana and little Billy didn't enjoy themselves.
Cops finally deduced that there was cannabis laced within the food. They went to the groom first. They asked 42-year-old Andrew Svoboda. What a name. Oh, my gosh. You need drugs to understand this guy's name. S-V-O-B-O-D-A. Andrew Svoboda. Whatever.
Wow.
The sheriff's deputy asked him about cannabis, and he had a blank expression before stuttering, no. That's in the police report. No.
No.
Yep. Before long, detectives on the scene were able to deduce that it came down to an idea from the bride, and she shared it with the cook behind the catering company, and they together put on this scheme to put marijuana in almost every element of the food. There's their mugshots right there.
Who's the bride and who's the caterer?
Bride is on the left and the caterer is on the right. The bride looks like, oh, this is fun, isn't it? She doesn't even look like discouraged.
The caterer is like, why did I do this?
Yeah, this was stupid. But the bride is like, ah, isn't that fun?
That's not the way you want to spend your wedding night.
Yeah, that's right.
Is getting mugshots. I mean, come on. Like, there's so many reasons to not do this, right? Like, bad idea, lady. Bad idea.
The chef owns a business called Jocelyn's Southern Kitchen. And on that website, she describes herself as, quote, a holistic chef in which she creates high-quality, transformative dining experience designed to elevate the bodies of all who partake.
What? Okay, wait, hold on. I gotta look this up. What is this? You said Jocelyn's?
Jocelyn's Southern Kitchen. I don't know. You're gonna have to look it up. It's a weird spelling.
Okay.
It's like there's three Y's in it. I don't know. I don't know how you get three Y's in Jocelyn.
There's three Y's Jocelyn.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's a weird way to
wait, I think
spell
I found
that.
A holistic chef, Jocelyn Bryant, in 2013.
You want to cook crystal meth?
I'm the cook.
Well, this cook is... I don't think she'll be cooking anytime soon.
Wait a second. I don't know. I don't know if this is the right one that I found.
Yeah, may not be the... I'm sure there's like another... I'm sure there's at least three Jocelyn Southern Kitchens in the United States.
But I did find one that specifically mentions a holistic chef.
Oh, maybe it is that one then.
It doesn't have the same description, though.
Maybe she had to take it down after this.
Maybe.
After this experience here. Unfortunately, these guys are not going to get off easy. According to the cops, they are...
She sells an aura sanitizer.
Ooh, aura sanitizer. Clean your body? I don't know. What else do you do with it?
I have no idea.
So unfortunately, the two of them, both the bride and the cook, they are facing felony charges because of this little stunt here.
Yeah, not good, man. Not good.
They're hit specifically with negligence, tampering, and drug charges. 50 guests were in attendance for this reception, and they all got high, so...
Lovely.
Oh, wait, and I forgot to read the... There's another part I wanted to read. When asked why she did this, the bride thought that, quote, it would be like a gift, and that guests...
What?
And that guests should be excited. Free drugs.
No, man.
You want to cook crystal meth?
I'm the cook.
Yeah. She thought it would be like a gift. This is my gift back... instead of thank you notes and party favors, free drugs in the food.
Get everyone high.
Take that.
So this is the chef. I found the website.
Because
I found the line. We create high quality, transformative dining experiences. So you can have personal chef services. They also offer classes and courses. So you can get a class from them. You can get a class
I don't know about that anytime soon. She's facing felony charges.
Staying sauced. Which is a class on sauces.
Oh, not drugs. Oh, okay.
No. You do plant powered and not your hashtag basic cooking class. The fairly, good options here. I don't know why you would want to ruin that by drugging an entire wedding.
Whoops.
Not good.
Yep. And there you go, folks. It actually did happen. A whole wedding reception.
Drugged.
Drugged with... THC and marijuana. So hopefully they had a good time. I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. It sounded like a lot of them ended up in the hospital.
Yeah, fortunately, yeah.
I'll tell you, poor Nana and little Billy. You got to be careful, man.
Yeah. Sorry, you guys. How about the groom? The groom's like, what?
The groom's having a good time. All of a sudden, people are just like dropping. He's like, what in the hell is happening?
And then the police come. They're asking him about drugs.
And the cops show up. Yeah, they're like, did you do something to your guest? And he's like, no. And then they haul your wife away.
Yeah. He's in
handcuffs.
He's really in the most awkward spot.
So how did he finish the evening? He's just sitting there. He's like, well, did they get to the meat course?
Yeah. We,
was it only the pasta and salad? Can I still have my steak?
Yeah. We paid for some meat.
Yeah.
Where the hell is that?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Did the main course even get cooked?
I don't know. It probably didn't. Everybody was high.
That's the real tragedy is they didn't even get to finish it. All they got was salad and pasta.
Damn shame.
That's not a full dinner.
Yeah. You got to have some protein.
Yeah.
Bastards. There you go. True story. And you thought your wedding reception was boring. There you go.
Yeah,
look at that.
Right? Exactly.
There you go.
Unless you have cops showing up arresting the bride for drugging the entire reception, it's not a real wedding,
is it?
It's
not a real Florida wedding.
It's not a real Florida wedding. That's right. You either have to marry an amusement park ride or drug your entire reception.
Those are your two options.
Sorry, it has to be one of those.
Yep. But there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. And with that, we got to start wrapping up this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you guys for watching our 400th episode. What a way to end it on.
I know. With a wedding celebration.
Everyone getting high.
Yeah.
whether they like it or not.
You're going to get high whether you want to or not.
Eat it, Billy. This is it.
Poor Billy.
Yeah,
poor Nana.
Billy's been through a lot on here on the Crispy Noodle.
He really has. I mean, I don't know. He's still 8 years old despite us being on the air for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
His growth was stunted from all the things we put him through.
Yeah, sorry, Billy. But there you go. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Where can folks go if they want to learn more about Billy?
Yeah. You have thecrispynoodle.com. You have all of our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, social media, hubbubaloo links.
In addition to all the hubbubaloo, you can also subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast's YouTube channel where you get free videos of the podcast every week. You can also subscribe to the audio version of the podcast by searching for, downloading, and subscribing to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, and Amazon devices. So check us out on YouTube or the podcast service of your choice.
That's right.
Who's verbally flubbing now?
I'm high now.
Yeah.
That story made me high.
It's contact high.
Yeah. We're also available on Android Auto and Apple CarPlay, so you can download a couple episodes. And if you're doing a little road trip this summer, you can download us, take us on the go, and you can listen to episodes from the past and enjoy wacky news stories. And Mikey mentioned, some classics. They're in the Crispy Noodle archives.
Yeah, you got to dig to find them, but it's worth it.
Yeah, because those were some memorable stories. I forgot about, you know.
The Ferris wheel.
The Ferris wheel got me. That was a memorable one. If you want to find us on Twitter, I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo. Send us your sports, entertainment, or odd news stories. Odd news stories go to Rich, of course. But we'll be sure to give you a shout out on the show.
That's right. You get a sausage shout out if we talk about something you send in. But right now, we got to wrap this up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I think that will do it. Anything else, Mike?
No. I hope that bride gets out in time for the honeymoon.
Yeah, good luck. That'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later. Bye-bye, all you fine people.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.